praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, presented by Living Stream Ministry. These life studies explore every book in the Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Holy Spirit. These messages unveil how the Scriptures can be living and more than mere doctrine to man. Today, we bring you recorded excerpts of Witness Lee's original speaking, along with some of our own comments and thoughts. If you have questions, please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. The Gospel of Luke concludes with one of the most mysterious and difficult to understand items in the entire New Testament, and that is the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ to the heavenlies some 40 days after his resurrection. Luke 24 says, "And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." One of the reasons that it seems mysterious and difficult is that it appears to be very removed, even remote from us. Yet when we see his ascension properly in view of the entire New Testament revelation, we realize that it has tremendous implications for us. And this we will discover in our final program today from the Life Study of Luke. Dick Taylor has joined us for this finale from Luke's Gospel. And Dick, what a way to conclude a landmark, I would say, life study.
That's true, Chris. And you couldn't conclude in a higher way than with the resurrected and ascended Christ, who is so experiential.
In our previous few programs, Dick, we've been emphasizing the objective aspects of Christ's ascension, whereby he was crowned with glory and honor. We saw that he was enthroned for God's administration in the universe. Today, however, we're going to see that there's a very subjective or experiential aspect to his ascension, aren't we?
We surely are, Chris, because today we're brought to what's called the transmission. And the transmission is just Christ as the all-inclusive, life-giving, compound spirit, transmitting himself with all he's obtained and attained to us, so that he's not just the objective, resurrected and ascended Christ, but he's very subjective, very real, very experiential and enjoyable right now. It's like the hymn that Brother Lee wrote about the Spirit. O Lord, thou art the Spirit. How dear and near to me, how I enjoy thy marvelous availability. Because Christ today is the resurrected and ascended one and also the all-inclusive Spirit. We can enjoy him and experience him in his resurrection and his ascension with all the power that's toward us because he's transmitting himself as the Spirit into our being. This is worth
a million
zillion hallelujahs.
Well, Dick, you use this word transmitting and transmission. That's really key to understanding how Christ in his ascension is applicable to us. The word does not appear directly in the New Testament, but as we will see today in Ephesians chapter 1, there are two verses close together, verses 19 and 22, that both indicated. Let me read these two verses, Dick, as we prepare to join Witness Lee. Verse 19 says, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the operation of the might of his strength?" And then in verse 22, "And he subjected all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church."
Amen.
Yeah, these words "toward us" and "to" really imply transmission, don't they?
They surely do. Thank the Lord for such precious interpretation of the word.
Really so. Let's join Witness Lee.
The ascension of Christ is subjective to us. It is surely related to us. It's not just an objective thing. And there is a kind of transmission between his ascension and us. Amen. Ephesians 1, 19 says, "What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us?" His power, God's power in the heavens toward us, here indicates a transmission. Just like You know, today the electricity in this building is a transmission because the electricity comes from the power plant. You do have the current of electricity. That is a transmission. While all the lamps are shining, the transmission is going on. And there is exactly such a transmission of the heavenly current of the spiritual electricity or divine electricity from the heavenly power plant that is the third heaven to us, to the church. And we are the building into which this divine electricity is being transmitted. So this is the power to us. The divine electricity from the heavens is transmitted to the church. Verse 22. God gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church. The giving here is not a kind of giving to the church, but it's a kind of giving to Christ. God gave Christ something. God gave him a gift. And what is the gift? The gift is the headship of the universe. Think about it. Man condemned him, sent him to death, and crucified him, and buried him. Then God came in to raise him up and seated him in the heavens and subject all things under his feet. Eventually, God gave him to be the head of all things as a gift. But Paul's writing stopped here. It has nothing to do with us. So Paul added a little phrase to the church, right? This transmission. That means all what Christ's ascension means is transmitted to the church. And the church is now still receiving. Amen. Transmission is not something once for all. The installation is once for all. But transmission is still going on. Amen. Still going on. Amen. This is the transmission of the ascended Christ to the church all the time.
Dick, as I recall, you were in this meeting as he was illustrating this matter of the transmission. I thought his picture here about the electrical current being transmitted into the receptacle or the house in this case was really a graphic one. Helps us understand what Christ attaining in his ascension means to us directly, doesn't it?
It truly does, because these phrases, toward us who believe in Ephesians 1 and to the church, show us this matter of the transmission. And the transmission simply means that all that Christ is, all he's obtained, all he's attained, is now ours experientially. It's just like with electricity, you have the power plant and you have the wires, but eventually you have the building to which the power goes. Now we're the building. As the church, we are the ones receiving the power that is really the power in this universe. And this power is just Christ himself with all of his attainments. Even this prayer in Ephesians 1 is tremendous, isn't it, Chris? Because in this prayer you see a fourfold power. The power that raised him from the dead,
right,
that seated him in the heavenlies,
amen,
subjected all things under his feet,
yes,
and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Even that heading up power is awesome. I like this prayer from the life study of Luke. Listen to this prayer. It's marvelous. What do we need to do to enjoy this power, this Christ who's being transmitted to us with all of his attainments? We need to do this. We need to pray. Lord, I am here. I love you, and I give myself to you. Lord, I empty my whole being for you. If you pray like this, you'll experience and enjoy this heavenly, divine transmission.
Dick, that's tremendous. I want to stay on this for just a moment, because at the very end here, he brought out the matter of the installation is once for all. And of course, that's an analogy to what is installed in us, in a sense, when we get saved, when we get born again.
Right.
The line from the power plant is installed right into the center of our being. But the transmission needs to be continual. We don't need a reinstallation, but we need to keep this transmission continuously taking place, don't we? And that's what you're referring to in this prayer you just read.
That's right, Chris. Like you mentioned, and he said, that installation's once for all. The transmission is continual. So our need is to keep our being open to him. By any means, we would do our best to exercise the innermost part of our being, our spirit, our heart, and including our lips and our mouth, to open ourselves to this present, living, fresh, transmitting, resurrected, and ascended Christ so that he could be real in our daily life. And I like this. If we really open to him and enjoy him as the transmitting Christ, then you know what happens? We'll be full of light, full of life supply to face things in our daily life, and full of sustaining power that we might be able to express him. And that's God's desire, is that we would be filled with Christ and testify him.
Dick, we have two segments left in this life study of Luke. They're both going to deal with one other very, very marvelous aspect of Christ in his ascension, and that is, in his ascension, according to Hebrews 4, he became the great high priest, and that is his inauguration into the priesthood, as we'll read in verse 14. Having therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession. And now we have to join that verse to Revelation chapter 1, the first appearance of the Lord Jesus in the last book of the divine revelation, says this, "And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment reaching to the feet, and girded about at the breasts with a golden girdle." This is the high priest, isn't it, Dick?
It truly is.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Christ is the high priest in the heavens. In his ascension, he was inaugurated into his priestly office. In Revelation, Christ was revealed firstly not as the administrator. He's unveiled as the priest. The first vision of Christ in Revelation is in chapter 1. The vision tells us that Christ is walking among the lampstand, and that is the priest taking care of the lamb shining. So the first vision of Christ in Revelation is that he is now God's priest taking care of God's lampstand. And then in chapter 8, he was revealed as a priest offering the incense. In chapter 1 of Revelation, he's revealed as a priest in the holy place taking care of the lamb. Then chapter 8, he's revealed as the priest in the Holy of Holies, offering the incense to God. Then from chapter 5, he's revealed as the administrator of the entire universe. To the entire universe, he is not the priest. He's the administrator. To the church, to us, he is the priest. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In the heavens, now he is living, behaving, acting, moving, and working, even ministering as a priest. He bears us and he holds us. And not only so, he is also taking care of us.
Dick, these verses in Hebrews and Revelation, quite something. This priestly ministry in the heavens was something he entered into after his resurrection and ascension, wasn't it?
Right.
This was not the ministry that he was engaged in on the earth. So we need to see him today in this ascended situation, this ascended heavenly ministry, to really have an understanding of how he's caring for us, don't we?
We surely do. And it's like the verse that you read, Chris, from Revelation 1. There he is in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, signifying the churches, walking. And he's there as the Son of Man, caring. I think this word is the word we need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
There he is as the Son of Man, clothed with a garment reaching to the feet and girded about at the breast with a golden girdle. That shows us that he, in his ascension, is the priest. He's the high priest, who today is the real caring high priest. Not only is the garment show the priest, but also the girdle. And the girdle this time is not around the waist, but the girdle is around the breast, and the breasts signify love. And the breastplate of the priest had all the names of the children of Israel, and the shoulder stones also included all the names of the children of Israel, indicating that he bore us on his shoulders, he wears us in love on his breast, and he is walking in the midst of the lampstands to care. So he's bearing us, he's wearing us, and he's caring for us.
Oh.
This is our high priest. Someday, Chris, we'll fall down with tears because so many things we didn't understand, even it looked negative, but this one was caring for us while he's wearing us and bearing us. What a marvelous high priest.
Dick, that's exactly how we have selected to conclude this life study of Luke. Our final segment will touch this point you just put your finger on just now. I really would encourage all of those listening, if you can, drop your other thoughts and activities for this next couple of minutes. What we're about to hear will answer many unanswerable questions, at least for now, and be a great vision, view, and comfort to a lot of us as we experience the caring, bearing, and wearing of us by our great high priest.
Amen.
Let's join Witness Lee for this last segment of the life study of Luke.
Of course, we have our own feeling, and we have our own ambition, right? We like to be healthy. We like to live long life. Even 200 years would not satisfy us. Sometimes we complain to him, Lord, why I pray you don't care? Lord, I'm sick. I'm sick of cancer. Lord, ask you, where's your power? Where's your healing? You don't hear me. Well, the Lord answers that, I like to see you die of cancer. This is his answer. And this is his care. He knows what would be good for you to live on this earth. He knows. You don't know. You have your preference. I have my preference, right? I like to be rich. And you are the same, right? Having everything, right? Short of nothing. We all aspire to have such a life. But eventually, he would take everything away. You may say, Brother Lee, tonight you are telling us the ascension of Christ. Don't talk this way. Well, the ascension of Christ includes this. It includes his priesthood. And he's the high priest, bearing you, holding you, and taking a good care of you. The goat is not according to your interpretation. It's according to his interpretation. Why? I cannot tell you why. Only he knows why. He's the high priest. Well, this is somewhat negative, but anyhow, I tell you, his care is always positive. Yeah. Since until that day we'll be there, we will all worship him. Amen. And say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I've been complaining to you all the time. Now I know your good will.
Amen.
He's taking a good care of us.
Amen.
Not only so, listen, you only care for yourself. For your health, for your welfare, right? But God wants lampstands. God wants lampstands. And this high priest takes care of God's need much more than your need. This includes his building of the church, his edifying of the saints, his building up a living testimony for Jesus. Dear saints, I don't know how do you feel. Every day I feel he's there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, this is Christ in his ascension. Isn't this marvelous?
You know, Dick, as you and I were talking before we began to record today, you gave me a testimony about how this word affected you around the time you heard it. Maybe you'd relate a little bit of that for our listeners. I think it would somewhat underscore this point.
Yeah, I'd like to, Chris. I was in this very meeting, and when Brother Lee was speaking this way, my thought was, Brother Lee, what's this got to do with the ascension of Christ? But then when he showed us from the Word this high priest, and the main characteristic of Christ in his ascension as the high priest is that he is one who is caring for us and caring for his testimony, signified by the lampstands, which are the churches. And his care ultimately is always positive. It's not a matter of our interpretation. When Brother Lee mentioned that matter of somebody getting sick and with cancer, and then you're praying and nothing happens, and eventually he dies. About a week after this message, I got news of a very close coworker in the Lord who was sick. He'd contracted cancer, and within a couple of months, he died. I was very close to this brother. He was a very dear brother in the Lord. But I have to testify that because of this word, I did not lose 1 ounce of faith. My trust was in this heavenly, caring high priest. And I knew that he knows what's best. He's caring for God's need even much more than our need, because he cares for God's testimony. In the context of his care for God's economy, his care toward us is always positive. It's not a matter of our interpretation. He's the high priest. We're not the boss. He's the boss. He knows what's best. It's like Romans 8:28.
Yes.
We know all things work together for good to those who love him. And that good is to make us the same as he for his testimony. So when I heard this, I did not lose any faith, but rather my faith rose. And I realized the Lord knows what he's doing with this brother. This is his business. And someday all of us will have our mouths shut. Any complaining or murmuring or reasoning will be done away. And we'll just worship him with tears of joy that he knew exactly what he was doing, and that all of his care as the ascended high priest is always positive.
Dick, all of us, I think, have experienced the loss of a loved one or a coworker to some degree, and we've scratched our heads and said, Lord, why?
That's
and,
right.
Of course, his word here, we don't know why. He knows why.
That's right.
But because he is the one who is caring for our needs and also especially for God's needs.
That's right.
And someday these questions will be resolved, even perhaps for us. But for now, it's enough to know. I was gone for several days. I had a little unexpected illness of my own, and followed by some rest, and was very happy that Matt Miller could sit in and take my place. He was telling the story, the loss of his niece, a 17-year-old beautiful young Christian girl who was tragically taken in a car accident, and the entire town was left wondering, how could this be?
Right.
But what we now see, there is a high priest.
Amen.
Who is caring, bearing, and wearing us according to God's estimation of what is really the good.
Amen.
Thank you for being here, for sharing your testimony, and always your fellowship, Dick. I've enjoyed our times together in this life study of Luke. Thank you, Dick.
Praise the Lord, Brother Chris. I enjoyed very much this life study of Luke. All we can say at the end of this program is hallelujah for our high priest.
Really so. I have to mention, as we part here for the last time in the life study of Luke, these printed messages, 79 of them for the entire life study. We've had 65 radio broadcasts. We've combined a few here and there. There are 79 printed messages. They're all available to you in 3 volumes. If you'll call a toll-free number, we'd get them off to you right away. It's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. Or you can write to us, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, and our email address, radio@lsm.org. And don't forget the website where you can listen to all of our past programs and even the day's current program. If you just heard the last bit of this one and would like to get it all, it's there at the website for you, www.lifestudy.com. And for Dick Taylor, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. The focus of Living Stream is the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China in the first half of the 20th century. after World War II. Witness Lee brought this ministry first to Taiwan, then later to North America, and eventually to the entire world. For more than 20 years, he spoke these life study messages, unveiling how each book of the Bible shows God's eternal plan. God, through Christ, wants to dispense his life and nature into redeemed man, so that man would become God's expression, enlargement, counterpart, and habitation. These studies go far beyond mere doctrine and unveil a personal, practical, and experiential Christ. In these short 26-minute programs, we summarize and condense Witness Lee's rich speaking. But to enjoy all the riches in these messages, we hope you'll visit our website at lifestudy.com. There, you can read all of the life study messages absolutely free of charge. You can even create your own life study reading schedule or download more life study audio programs just like this one, and all at no cost. Again, the website, lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.